Explain gardening for the Gulf Coast with Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, what do you think? What do you think the temperature is going to be? Oh, what is that, Tuesday, Wednesday? I don't know exactly. I think it's going to be, you know, my bet is that some of you folks within the range of my mouth, my voice, are going to see temperatures around 25 degrees. Maybe a little lower, and maybe up if you're up above Citronelle, it could get lower. Could get in the lower 20s. I don't know if we're going to have the hardest of hard freezes, but we're going to have that sort of medium range freeze, and it's going to be colder than any temperature we've had, I expect, this winter. We want to be prepared for that. I think in Mobile and in Midtown and in Fairhope, it's not going to be quite as cold, but somewhere between 25 and 27 is my bet, probably about where it should be this for a January cold temperature, about somewhere in there. So it's something we got to be prepared for. We're going to talk a little bit about that. What do you need to do to be prepared for that this year and this season? How do you deal with those cold temperatures? But, you know, it reminds me of something. It reminds me of something I'm going to call the grapefruit conundrum. I've been thinking a lot about this grapefruit conundrum and what it means here in Mobile. Let me tell you, here's what I mean by the grapefruit conundrum. There are lots of people this year who are really having a great time with grapefruit. Really, really experiencing a great grapefruit year. What's happened is this year, and people have come up to me and said, why is my grapefruit this year so much better? Why is it so much better? And it's worth thinking about. Why has this been a good year for grapefruit? Well, you know, I could start off by saying a lot of things that are mostly conjecture, but may have some basis in fact. You know, we had a long hot summer, which grapefruits love. There's no question. Plenty of rain, lots of heat, high night temperatures all during summer, and then grapefruit. If you remember where grapefruit are grown. Down in Central Florida, they get a break in the hot temperatures. They like that break. And so the grapefruit that come from the best parts of Florida that are the best and that aren't picked too early and that come from good trees, they're grapefruits that have gone through a little bit of a long, long winter cooling period. And this year, we had that long, long winter cooling period. But that winter cooling period, normally in Mobile, is interrupted by very, very, very cold temperatures. Cold temperatures that last for a relatively long duration. We didn't have that this year. And so they continue to develop. The fruits didn't freeze. They didn't lose their quality on the tree, which, you know, it's interesting. So the grapefruit this year may be sweeter than usual. Does that mean you should be growing grapefruit? And there's the conundrum. There's the grapefruit conundrum. Because I don't know that this is going to happen every year, but it might. And now we're having to readjust. We're having to rethink what works in Mobile. What is going to work in Mobile in the future? Because in the future, Mobile has been known for satsumas. And we've been known for satsumas because back during September and August, early in August and September, we get that really intense hot summer, but there's a little break. There's a little break in the heat. Cools off just a little bit. The rain slows down. And then we get that nice cool temperature in October, and the fruits develop very nicely. This year, we didn't get the break in August and September. And increasingly, I worry we're not getting that break in the heat in August and September. So it may be that in the future, those particular conditions that make Satsumas very good on the Gulf Coast and really utterly terrible in Central Florida. The Satsumas in Central Florida are really bad. Just bad is the word. As are the Satsumas in California. That the things that make our Satsumas so good now won't be there anymore. That because our conditions will be too much like Central Florida. And maybe we'll be growing grapefruit. And maybe consistently we'll get years with good grapefruit. But you don't know because we're still getting these cold spells that are colder. These continental cold spells that come down briefly. You know, mostly these winters have been milder, but briefly they come down and boom, it might be too cold for the grapefruit. It might be too cold for the grapefruit trees. It might be too cold for the grapefruit itself because the flavor of grapefruit doesn't develop until late January and February and March, and that's when people start picking. So there it is, this grapefruit conundrum. Here's an interesting thing. If you went back, and this is interesting to think about, because if you went back, oh, let's say 30 years, 40 years, 30 or 40, which is when I really started thinking about how things grow here along the Gulf Coast and what grows here. And you asked folks about grapefruit, they would laugh at you. They would laugh at you because they'd say, no, man, I mean, you could put grapefruit in a very, there are certain areas where, very protected areas, but there aren't a dozen grapefruit tree that actually perform well here along the Gulf Coast. Now, there are a lot more grapefruit trees that are performing, and maybe not the best fruit every year, but okay fruit every year. And when you go back and look at the temperatures, something's changed. If you look at the temperatures back during the 60s and 50s and 40s and 30s and 20s and teens, there were temperatures every winter that were somewhere around 15 degrees. And at least once every 5 years. At least once every 5 years, there would be temperatures that drop down, down around 10 degrees in Mobile. Been a long time since we've seen 10 degrees in Mobile. It's been a long time since we've seen temperatures below 10 degrees. And, you know, that used to happen with relative frequency here in Mobile. As late as the 80s, we were getting temperatures that low. Hadn't seen that in a very long time. Will we see it again? I don't know. It's an interesting question. But here's the truth. Things are changing. We got to think about it. We have to think about more than just day-to-day sometimes. Sometimes to survive, you got to think long-term. You got to think more than day-to-day to survive. And as a gardener, you got to think more than just, oh, here's what's happening tomorrow. Here's what happened yesterday. You have to think about what's the long-term trends. What are the long-term trends? Because that's going to determine how we are able to grow a lot of fruits. Grapefruit, satsumas, many of the vegetables that we grow. It may change the way we grow vegetables. It may make the tomato season, growing season here along the Gulf Coast, even shorter. You know, it's an interesting thing. We're going to have to think. We've always needed to think carefully about climate here along the Gulf Coast, more carefully than most places, because our climate is so different than climates in Boston and other places. So we got to think about it very, very carefully. But we have to think about it more carefully now because I think climate's changing. And we got the grapefruit conundrum. Tell me what you think about the trees in your yard. Tell me about the consistency with which you've been able to pick grapefruit. If you've been looking at winters for a long, long time, tell me what you think. Tell me, can you remember what winters were about like 40 years ago, 50 years ago? How have they changed? Let's talk about that. You know, we got a lot of talk about this morning. We got to protect your plants, which is what we're going to do because we got a little bit of cold temperature. It ain't one of those 10 degree or 15 degree or even 20 degree winter days that we used to have, but it's about a 25 and 30 degrees that a lot of us are going to be dealing with. Let's talk about how to protect your plants. Peter Toler is going to be on. He's going to be talking about the trees in Bienville. We got a lot to do this morning.
I was raised in the country, that's a natural fact. Food on the table from the garden out back. Everyone working to make the land their own. Red clay cracking where the silver queen grows. Running with your cousins from yard to yard. The living was easy, but the playing was hard. Didn't have much, nothing comes for free. All you needed was your family. I am a country girl.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, Charlie, you were telling that story. Charlie was telling the story about, that was 1985?
Well, I want to say it was maybe around 83. It was in the early
80s. Yeah, that's right.
And it was a few days before Christmas.
That's right.
We were on our way to Pensacola because that's where my wife and my families were located at the time. And it was 8 degrees, and there was ice out on the edge of the bay. And our car died at about the Virginia Street exit on I-10. And I'm wearing dress slacks, but I got a big overcoat on, thank God. Well, we sat there for a little while on the side of the road, and I said, you know, I'm going to have to get out and walk to the police station or somewhere to get us some help, pre-cell phone days. And I told her, I said, if it starts getting really cold in the car, you and the kids get out, go down the side of the embankment where the sun is shining, and you'll be out of the wind, and maybe it'll be a little warmer. And luckily, I just happened to have a Santa hat on. And a young couple coming by, all of a sudden I see their taillights come on, and they pull over, and they back up, and they give me a ride to the police station, and the young lady said, we just couldn't let Santa walk down the highway. But it was 8 degrees, and that was the coldest that I've ever experienced in Mobile.
Yeah, it was one winter during the 80s, and what was it? The low temperature was 3 degrees, I think.
I know, but when you get ice starting to form out on the bay, it's cold.
Yeah, and so the 80s were the last gasp, really, of those really cold temperatures. Yeah. There was a cold winter in 92, I believe it was, 92 or 93, maybe, 93, right in there, 93, 94. But we've the temperatures, there were a lot of temperatures that year down into the teens pretty frequently. And that was in Midtown. We haven't seen winters like that in a long time. We get these outbreaks of cold temperatures that seem cold because we're so used to these warmer winters now.
Well, and the dampness, I think, amplifies it a little bit.
Amplifies
too.
How you feel about it. But, yeah, it's true. But it's interesting. It has changed. I do remember I was not in Mobile during those 83, low temperatures in the 80s. But I was in North Carolina.
Oh, it had to have been worse there.
Oh, man. I tell the story because I love remembering it. It was the day it was, I don't remember how many degrees below zero it was that day in Asheville. I was in Asheville. I was out at the college I went to.
Oh, in the mountains, too.
In the mountains, too.
Yeah.
And it was, the low that day was in the negative teens.
Yeah.
And it was really intense. Let me say, it was intense.
Was there a breeze blowing too?
And we had the college I went to is a peculiar school, and it can be blamed for much of what I am. But we had to feed the cows that day on campus, and I was staying over. It was just a few days before Christmas, I remember, I was staying over the holidays on campus, and so I was on the I was feeding the school's cows.
You didn't have to milk them, did you?
Did not have to. We didn't have milk cows.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so we, but we had to go, and it was cold riding around, but everybody wanted to go. Everybody wanted to go to the silo. Usually on most days, nobody ever wanted to get in the silo because silage smells terrible.
But it's warm.
but it was the only warm place on campus. So everybody wanted to climb up into the top of the silo and heave out the silage because it was warm. It was actually giving off warmth. The only warm – I remember that day vividly, but it got very cold in Mobile. Had a lot of impact on a lot of plants.
I wanted to ask you a question, and right in line with this, as a guy who is just really tired of – dealing with these heavy pot plants all over my house.
Yeah.
Every time it gets cold. Isn't there also a time factor? Like if it's going to go down to, let's say, 30, but it's only going to do it for maybe 2 hours.
You know,
is that better than like if it's going to be all day long?
No, I think if it gets down to 30 degrees and you have a frost and you have a freeze sensitive plant, it's going to hit it pretty hard.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't. If it's down at 30 degrees for, if it's at 30 degrees for 30 minutes, it's going to hit it pretty hard.
So the answer is, if you don't know, then just move them.
Yeah,
or
you
cover them.
And there are some plants that, of course, there are some plants that are quite hardy to cold. They have a lot of antifreeze. But there are some plants, and that leads us to where we should be now. There are some plants that have antifreeze. And we don't have to worry about those too much. But it's getting on the edge for some. Kale, we never have to worry about. Violas, pansies on the Gulf Coast, we generally don't have to worry about them.
Turnips do good.
Turnips are on the border. Turnips are actually kind of on the border. They're not one of they are cold hardy, but they're not real cold hardy. So when it gets down around 25 degrees, I start worrying about turnips.
What about collards?
Collards I never worry about until the temperature gets down to around 10 degrees.
Because last year in my experimental garden, my collards love the cold weather.
Oh, they love that cold weather. And 5 degrees, you know, those temperatures, that can really damage collards. But broccoli is one on the edge. At 25 degrees, broccoli is going to be on the edge. So I might cover my broccoli because you can get some damage. And in fact, I got a little bit of damage just from the cold spell the other day on some of my broccoli. It wasn't serious. It wasn't bad. It emerged from it. But, you know, it's probably a little more battened down now than it was then. But I worry about broccoli. And Johnny was telling us at the end of the show last week that he worries about cabbage. Sometimes cabbage will get burned at the tip, frosted at the tip. And it's good to be aware of that. And listen, all it's going to take for most of those vegetables is just putting a sheet over them. Just put a little bit of sheet over them. Even at 25, it's going to be fine. Now, if it's getting below 25, you might want to be a little more careful. Maybe even put two sheets.
But sheet keeps the frost off.
But it does. But more importantly, it's not keeping the frost off that's important as much as trapping the heat from the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, we talk about this all the time. It's the ground heat. There is a tremendous amount of heat stored in the ground. And it's big. It's big. and you know, it's going to be 50, 60 degrees in the ground temperatures and coming up on those cold days. And you get that cold days and that heat is released around the plant. Even if the ground is only 45 degrees, which is rare it gets that cold, but it might, it's still going to be a lot warmer than the air temperature, and that air, it's going to mix right around the plant. If you can keep it mixing right close to the plant by just putting a sheet over it, man, you got it figured out.
Is that why you say take some pot plants and lay them over on their side?
Lay them over on their side. It makes a ton of difference. So the other day, and I want to get back to some of these observations on temperatures, but the other day, the wind blew the sheet off of my peppers. I try to keep my peppers alive through the winter, and I got some great, and most of them are, all of them are still alive. But the sheets got blown off. Dadgummit. When you put your sheets on, you got to think about the fact that the wind's going to blow. I did. I didn't think about it hard enough, and the sheets blew off. And so what was interesting was some of the plants got burned and some of them didn't get – and some parts of the plant got burned and some didn't get burned at all because there were some peppers that during the winds and other things this past year, some of them just laid down. They laid down.
Out of the wind.
And on their own and because the wind blew them down and just other things happened. And it was funny because the parts that were exposed, the branches that were exposed about two feet above the ground, they were burned. The stuff right on the ground, not touched at all. It was amazing how much difference that makes with contact with the ground. And you can multiply that effect. You can multiply that effect enormously just by using some type of covering. And really only for the duration of the cold. Put it on, as I like to remind people, put it on before the nights start getting really cold. So if you can get home, as soon as you get home, pull those sheets over your plants.
While the ground is still warm from the sun.
While the ground is still warm from the sun. If you can do it at 4 o'clock, it's probably even better. It's going to be interesting. It looks like we might get some snow. That'll be interesting. I don't think we'll get a lot, but we might get some.
This week?
This week, coming up. The snow actually may offer a little bit more insulation on top of any blankets you put on. But the blankets make a big difference this time of year. If you've got young trees, if you've got young satsumas, young citrus, just the tropical stuff, like, or subtropical stuff like citrus, and you need to cover those if they're young. If they've only been in the ground a couple of years, just cover them on this night, this one night. They would have been fine otherwise, but just you might cover them because they can get burned if temperatures get down much below 26, 27 degrees.
Is that coming Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning? I always get confused.
I think they say it's Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning are going to be the cold temperatures. It could be Monday night going into Tuesday morning, and I'll have to look. Maybe we'll do that over the break. So Rusty said, Rusty said 81 or 82. That's right. He was in his family was in Cherokee at that time. Boy, was that a Christmas. 85 was the 3-degree day, says Tony. 85, 3 degrees, 1985, 3 degrees in Mobile. Oh, man, 9, 10, 11 degrees Mobile consecutive days in 62.
Wow.
That's from Taxman.
Glad I missed that one.
Oh, man. Here's 1988, my brother removing 2 inches of ice off the pool. In February of 88. Hey, listen to that. It got cold here once. We're going to be back.
To Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yay, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. Remembering what it was like when winters were really cold in Mobile and how that's changed and how to deal with it. Listen, I got a picture here from Billy Bob in Fairhope. Should I put my little Satsuma Survivor in the greenhouse? Don't put it in the greenhouse. If you can put it in the garage or put it someplace so that it doesn't, really a tree like that, temperatures around 30 degrees, perfect, perfect. It'll do fine even in the container and even though it's kind of sickly, 30 degrees is going to be fine for that tree. You don't want to heat it up too much. I guess you could put it in the greenhouse one night. You could put it in the greenhouse one night, but be sure to take it out because you don't want to get it too hot, okay? Because it might start branching out. It'll be very sensitive in a pot like that. It'll be very sensitive to warming up very quickly because there isn't much buffering, and it'll start leafing out, which you don't want it to do. So there's no need to, if you've got plants in containers, I always say, really, we only need protection during the night. During the day, we don't need protection for most trees or most plants. Orchids are different, but most plants, we don't need protection during the day here. We only need it at night for a few hours. So if you can slip it in a garage, for example, I don't have a garage.
Me either.
But if you had a garage, it's filled with everything except your car, right? So put your plants in there too. And you could put your plants in there, and it'll get just enough heat from the house to stay a good bit warmer. Sheds can work okay, but not really, because they don't have a lot of residual heat in them. You know what I'm saying? And if you had a heater in your shed, that would be okay. Keep the heater on low or something just to keep it. That would be another way to do it. Front porches are great places to put container plants, as long as the temperature doesn't get too low. If the front porch is facing, but it's important which way the front porch faces. If it faces south or east, probably east is actually better than south. South or east, it's going to be much, much warmer than north or west. And so it's probably fairly reliable. Those west-facing porches get that west wind, and the north-facing porches do too, that northwest wind. And, boy, they can really get cold fast. But south and east porches, great place to do. I take plants and I put them, snug them right up against the house on the south and east side, okay? Just right up against the house. There's maybe some shrubs in front of them. That's okay. And then I cover them with cloth to protect, to sort of contain that heat just a little bit. And that can work. That works amazingly well, down to probably even down to 25 degrees. Even down to 25 degrees, that can work amazingly well. Now, I can't guarantee how it's going to work at your house. I have big, broad eaves on my house. They sit out 3 feet. It's the way we used to build houses here on the Gulf Coast. And kept the rain off the foundation and off the wood. But, you know, I think that even with a house that doesn't have deep eaves, if you put it, snug it up against the house on the south or east side and then cover it with a sheet, you're going to keep you're going to keep them alive just fine. You're going to keep them green. It's going to be amazing how that works, at least down to 25 degrees. When it gets below 25, gets tougher. It gets tougher. You have to think about it a little bit harder. So one thing Charlie might consider doing, because he's tired of hauling these plants inside, is to just for these remaining cold spells, put them on the east or put them on the east or south side of your house. Find a good couple of blankets just to throw over them. You see what I'm saying? And just leave them there to enjoy the sunshine. See what I'm saying? And then when you're ready to leave, that way you don't have to drag them in and out. Does that make sense, Charlie?
Yeah, and one other thing that I do, I've got about 10 or 12 bricks, and I use those to put weights on the corner of my sheets.
There you go. And listen, folks, do what Charlie says. Don't do what I did the other day, which is not to weight down one side of my sheet.
That could ruin your whole morning, Bill.
Oh, it did. I came out and I said, "Dadgummit." Charlie and I are talking about appropriate things to say on the air, but dadgummit's still okay, right?
Yeah, it's not one of those lists of seven words.
Seven words, right. So dadgummit.
Dagnabbit is also okay.
Yeah, I can't say dadgummit. I can say dadgummit, though. So dadgummit, I didn't cover one side of the sheets, and it blew up during the cold, and boom. It got some frost on some of my peppers, and I hate that. They survived because it wasn't a bad frost. But I'll tell you, coming up this week, I think this is the one, maybe the coldest temperature of the year. I hope it is, because, man, if we've got a blast coming down in February, it's going to hurt. Let me tell you something else that's happening right now that I'm seeing. The Taiwan cherries are blooming, the Formosan cherries, Taiwan cherries, that are so beautiful. And this is one thing. When I came to Mobile, Taxman, is this the truth? Didn't we used to say that Taiwan cherries issued in spring, February 15th, the Taiwan cherries were going to be in full bloom? And that was the way it was during the 90s. It may have been a little later, earlier, but it was, you know, that's about where it was. Somewhere, Taiwan cherries were very early. Around February 15th, they started blooming. But now the Taiwan cherries are blooming in January, almost consistently. They're starting in January. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. It means we got to start paying attention, because things are changing. It'll be interesting to see how they change. I hope our rainfall patterns stay the way they are now. I kind of like them. They would drive most sane people crazy. But I love our rainfall patterns. It's part of being on the Gulf Coast. It's sort of the it's the induction ceremony for living on the Gulf Coast. It's discovering how much it rains here. It rains a lot. It rains big. I hope that doesn't change. I actually like that part of living on the Gulf Coast. I hope we don't get more like Houston, where they're getting a lot less rain in bigger glomps. But that's happening here too. So it's been an interesting show. Hey, so Taxman is agreeing with me. The Taiwan cherries are in bloom now, and I think Taxman, you argue with me, Taxman, but I think they're now getting to be consistently earlier. I cannot remember a winter when they weren't blooming. It's now dating back many years, they almost a decade or more, where they've been started blooming in January almost every year. But here's the other thing. Here's the other thing that we're thinking about is how it's going to affect other plants. Taxman also asked me about red grapefruit. What is it? And I'm interpreting that, Taxman. Let me tell you. It's an interesting question. I'm not sure what you meant, Taxman, by that in particular. But let me tell you that red grapefruit have a long history here on the Gulf Coast. There were a few varieties of red grapefruit and I'm trying to remember the names of them. Ruby or I can't remember. But I don't remember the names of these old varieties of red grapefruit, but they did particularly well here along the Gulf Coast. They aren't the types of red grapefruit that they grew in Central Florida, slightly different strains, but there were some great old strains for the Gulf Coast, and some folks still may have those. All right. It's a way to move citrus trees that have been planted for a number of years without killing them. Ooh, boy, moving citrus trees, that's a tough one. Oh, particularly older ones. Oh, man, let's talk about that. I'm going to come back and talk about that. Let's talk about the economics of moving a citrus tree that had been planted for a number of years. Let's figure out a way to do around that. Andrew, I'm listening. What's up?
Oh, good morning. I want to ask you, my peach tree got blooms all over. One of my girls doing this cold snap come next week.
Oh, man. So that's a problem. Yeah. Well, boy, it's early, isn't it? That's way early.
I mean, it is early. I mean, it's completely a flower pink tree.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know if it's a good idea to protect those blooms because I don't think it's going to hold on to the fruit. You know, I would probably there are two ways of looking at this. One, you could probably throw a sheet over it. You could throw a sheet over the if it's not too big a plant and throw a big sheet over it. Or if you want to throw a sheet like a cloth sheet or something just over the top and then put a big blue tarp over that. Weight the edges down and it'll probably hold on to those blooms. It'll probably hold on to most of the blooms.
Okay, but if the cold kills the blooms, they won't come back?
Now, the other way to look at it is that those, even if you save the blooms, it's going to be very hard to produce fruit that, because of chances of cold are very good happening again. So if it kills off the buds, it will probably produce a few buds later in the spring. Probably,
okay.
But not many. Not many. So yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem if it's fruiting this early. Do you remember what kind of peach tree variety it was?
I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is awful early. It sounds like maybe it was one that had an early dormancy.
Near the end of June.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so it's probably got a it may have a low dormancy requirement.
Contender, I believe that's the name of it.
Contender, maybe.
Contender, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll have to look it up. I'll see what the chill hours are on that. But yeah, if it's already full of blooms, it's got a problem. We need to figure out why it's full of blooms already. It's already had its chill requirements met.
Yeah, there are blooms on it. At Christmas time, blooms was beginning to come on it.
Wow, Andrew, that's wild. That's wild. So let me look this thing up, and I'm gonna come back on the air and give you a report on it. So listen up, and I'll tell you what I find out about it. Okay.
The name of the peach is a contender.
Contender. Good. I'll look him up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good
day. Hey, we're gonna listen to some good music, and then we're gonna take a break.
Pick no peas because everything on the front gonna get down on your bending knees. I dig no more taters. I decline I ain't gonna pick no peas because everything on the front, you know you got to go. I get down on your bending.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. A lot of interesting questions. Listen, the contender peach tree, I had to look him up. Andrew, let me tell you about that tree. That tree was designed for Detroit.
Wow.
Quite literally. It was designed for very cold climates. It may never produce well in your yard. I don't know who sold it to you, but they sold you the wrong tree. It was designed for a zone four climate to survive and produce in a zone four climate. We live in a zone nine climate. Much warmer. And that causes a lot of problems. Peaches need chill hours. They need a certain number of chill hours to produce flowers. It's very confused. And it also needs you're always going to have problems with that tree, I'm afraid, Andrew. Try another peach tree. Peaches are hard, but contender, I'm curious as to who sold you that tree. Because they did a bad thing, and whoever sold that to you didn't know what they were doing, and they did you bad, and you almost should go back to them and say, "What are you doing selling me this tree? And I live here in Mobile. What do you think you're doing?" And see if they'll give you your money back, because it's going to have a real hard time here in Mobile. That's why it's blooming out of season. It's very confused by the temperatures here, because it ain't Detroit. And it just ain't the kind of conditions that tree is used to growing in. It's not that. Listen, I want to talk of this other thing about moving trees. I guess there are good reasons to move trees that have been in the ground for a long time. But I would say they're pretty exceptional. Here's what's going to happen. If you move a tree and it's been in the ground for 10 years, it's got roots all over the place. It's got roots that are, if it's a citrus, it's got roots that are stretching out 20 feet away from, 30 feet away from that tree. And they're probably pretty important roots, 20 feet at least. So when you dig it up, you're going to lose 90% of the root system of that tree. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to take that tree forever to recover. I mean, if it survives, it's going to be years before it produces fruit again of any quality and of any quantity. So there's a false economy in moving those trees. When you could buy a tree for $30, you're going to spend, listen, I don't know what you pay yourself, but let's say you pay yourself $7 an hour, seven whatever minimum wage is now, $7.50. and you pay yourself $7.50, you're going to spend 6 hours dealing with that tree. Six times seven is what? 42 plus 50. And on top of that, you're talking $45, $46 that it's going to cost you if you pay yourself minimum wage to move that tree and get it settled in. And then your aggravation from having to water the thing repeatedly and watching it sit there for five more years, that's going to cost you another $50 in itself. So you're going to spend $100 paying yourself minimum wage to move that tree. Probably be good for your physique. But other than that, you're not going to get anything out of it for years. And you could spend $30, buy a new citrus tree, and in 3 years, it'll be producing citrus like crazy. The tree you move, it'll be 5, 6, 7 years before it starts producing citrus again. There's the problem. So that's the issue. That's the issue. That's one of the things we want to think about. Dan, so a lot of people, you know, if you've been listening to me, you planted your sugar snaps. And boy, this cold weather's coming, and boy, you just want to say, what is he telling me to plant the sugar snaps for? And I'm telling you to plant your sugar snaps because they're going to love this cold weather. They will not be affected by this cold weather at all. You'll be amazed. Don't worry about your sugar snaps. Don't worry about your peas. This is the kind of temperatures that they thrive in. We haven't seen temperatures. I don't know if I've ever seen them survive temperatures down as below 18. I have seen them survive temperatures around 20. They're amazingly hardy. Amazingly tough, this sugar snap. That's why we say go ahead and plant them. Let them get a well-established root system during the warmer winter days. They'll ignore the few cold winter days we have. And that means, boy, when February 15th gets here and it's ready to start spring, they're going to be jumping. And that means you start harvesting early before the heat gets here, because when the heat gets here, folks, and when I say heat, I'm talking about April heat. I'm talking about American summer, which comes about April 15th, April 20th. I hope it doesn't come any earlier. Oh, please don't let that start coming early. April 15th, April 20th, that's when we start getting those 80-degree days. And when we get 80-degree days, those sugar snaps are going to say, where in the world am I? I'm not supposed to be here. I'm out of here. And, boy, they're going to be out of here fast because they don't like those 80-degree temperatures. But you get them started really early, you get them producing in April, and they'll produce into May. They'll be really, really great. You'll get tons of produce. I like to start picking my sugar snaps in March, and that's why I plant sugar in. It's not too late. It's not too late to plant some sugar snaps. And you think it's crazy to plant sugar snaps on these cold days? No, it's not crazy to plant them on these cold winter days. It is. They're going to do just fine. They're going to do great. So give it a shot and see what happens. And Dan, don't worry about those little sugar snaps coming up. What do we need to tell you about before we get we're going to be talking about trees. We have been talking about these changes in temperatures. It's amazing how much colder it used to be than it is now. These temperatures coming up this week are going to be the coldest temperatures this winter. We've been lulled by generally warm temperatures, and so even though this isn't really big by historic standards, it's not going to be a big cold spell. It's going to be much colder than you're used to, particularly this winter. And we live day to day, so we have a hard time remembering what real cold is like. It's going to be cold for a lot of plants, and so we got to do some of the things if we're going to keep them alive. You feel free to call me and ask me what to do about specific plants in the next hour. And we'll talk about it. What do you do? You got a plant you're worried about? Is it going to be okay? We'll talk about it. We'll talk about how to deal with it. You just call. All you got to do is call, ask 251-343-0106. We're about to run out of time this hour. Next hour, Peter Toler is going to be back. Dan is asking me about what about Satsumas and loquats in containers. Dan, I think they're going to be fine just where you got them. I think they're going to be fine in that garage. You don't need to keep them from those plants will tolerate temperatures down into the 20s. And your garage is not going to get that cold during these temperatures. You'll be just fine. You'll be fine with that incandescent lamp. That'll be fine. That'll be all the heat they need. They'll be fine there. That's kind of the perfect place. Stays cool, but doesn't get freezing. Doesn't get deep freezing. So they're going to be really fine there. Peter Teller is going to be back in our next hour. You remember those trees at all the live oaks? 15 live oaks that somebody suggested they were needed to take out in Bienville Square. Mm-mm. Well, Peter's been looking at that, and he's going to be thinking about it, and we're going to come in, and he's going to talk about it. So check with us back. And listen, if you've got questions about how plants do, give us a call back in this next hour.
My girl, don't lie to me.